Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're going to be in the book of Joshua, chapter 21 and 22. I'll let you guys get there, then we'll open in prayer. 21 and 22. Coming to an end of this book. Yeah. Yeah, it's our favorite book until we get to the book of Judges. Then that's a new favorite book. But for now, Joshua is our favorite. All right, let's go ahead. We'll open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather together this afternoon to go through these two chapters, Lord, I ask you that you would open our hearts and our minds to your word, that you'd speak directly to us, Lord, and that we would get something out of this Bible study that you want us to know, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go for it. Chapter 21, the city of the Levites. City of the Levites. I'm going to read down to, why don't we go down to verse 12. It says, verse 1, it says, then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites came near to Eleazar, the priest, to Joshua, the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 2, and they spoke to them at Shiloh, in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to dwell in with their common lands. Now, common lands are pasture lands, okay? Because they have a lot of livestock. It says, for our livestock. Verse 3, so the children of Israel gave to the Levites from their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities, their common lands. Now the lot came out for the family of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest, who were of the Levites, had 13 cities by lot from the tribe of Judah, from the tribe of Simeon, and from the tribe of Benjamin. The rest of the children of the Kohath had 10 cities by lot from the families of the tribe of Ephraim, from the tribe of Dan, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh. So as you can see, these Levite families, they're receiving cities from within the tribes. The tribes are supplying these cities to the Levites. So verse 6, it says, and the children of Gershon had 13 cities by lot from the families of the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. Verse 7, the children of Merari, according to their families, had 12 cities from the tribe of Reuben, from the tribe of Gad, and from the tribe of Zebulun. And the children of Israel gave these cities with their common lands, these pasture lands, by the lot to the Levites, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. So they followed through. So they gave from the tribe of the children of Judah and from the tribe of the children of Simeon these cities which are designated by name, which were the children of Aaron, one of the families of the Kohathites, who were of the children of Levi. For the lot was theirs first. And they gave them Kirjath Arba. Arba was the father of Anak, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah, with the common land surrounding it. But the fields of the city and the villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephaniah, as his possession. So let's stop there for a minute. So again, the Levites are getting all these cities, all these common lands, these pasture lands that were of the tribes. They're giving them their allotments. Yep, where they said to do this, and they're obeying, and they're doing it. Now, verses 13 all the way down through 40, okay, or through 39, is a list of family members, okay, of these common lands. So we're going to skip that. You guys can read that on your own. Excuse me. So we're gonna skip down, and we're gonna go to pick up at verse 40. Yeah, we'll pick up right here at verse 40. We're just gonna read these three verses and talk about it. So it says in verse 40, so all the cities for the children of Merari, according to their families, the rest of the families of the Levites, were by their lot 12 cities. All the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their common lands. Verse 42. Every one of these cities had a common land surrounding it. Thus were all these cities. So let's stop there for a minute. So the Levites approached Joshua, as we just read, right? And they asked him to fulfill the promise made to them by Moses and give them the cities to live in the promised land, a total of 48 cities. They go to them and say, hey, the Lord and Moses said we could have these 48 cities within you guys, and we want you to make good on it. So they do. Right? The family of Aaron, they receive 13 cities out of the lands, Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. All right, the family of Kohath, they received 10 cities out of the lands of Ephraim, Dan, and Manasseh. Then the family of Gershon received 13 cities out of the lands. Theirs came from Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh. And then the family of Merari received 12 cities out of the lands of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. And then there were 6 cities of refuge. We read about that back in Joshua chapter 20, the refuge cities, right? They were included in the Levites' inheritance as well. So in total, the Levites received 48 cities with their surrounding pasture lands, these common lands, their pasture lands, they're for their livestock. Okay? So let's pick up in verse 43. The promise fulfilled. We'll read these last three verses in this chapter. It says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to the fathers, and not a man of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Okay, so Joshua 21 concludes by stating that God kept all his promises to Israel and gave them victory over all the enemies that they encountered during this conquest of the promised land. Right, God, we talked about that just before the Bible study. We were talking a little bit about that. God, he never breaks a promise, right? We, you know, people can tend to break promises, but God never does. Never going to break a promise ever. If he said, I promise you this, all throughout the scriptures, you can stand on it. So let's go into chapter 22. Eastern tribes return to their lands. These first few verses right here, first 6 verses are awesome. I mean, it's all about love, right? Equals obedience. They're great verses. As we're going to read through these, I really want you to think about these verses as we read into it. Joshua now is, he's blessing these 2.5 tribes. He's sending them out for their faithfulness. They were obedient, and he's going to send them out to the land that they were promised. It was on the outside of the promised land, but Moses made a promise to them that they could have that land because that land had, it was great for livestock. And those 2.5 tribes had a lot of livestock. So when they came through that area, we read that they said to Moses, we'd love to have this land. I know that, you know, promised land's over there. We'd love to have this land. It didn't fare well with them being outside of God's promise, but Moses gave them the land. And now, after they fight, now they've been battling for 7.5 years, these wicked nations. And so now he's going to tell them, go ahead and go to your land on the other side of the Jordan. Now remember, their families are over there. It's not, they left all their families, they left their the women, the children, and whoever else couldn't go to war over in that land. They already had that land. But remember, Moses told them, you're going to make an oath with us. When we go into the promised land, you're going to go fight with your brothers. And we read about that. He said, you're not just going to stay on the outside here and let your brothers go fight and wipe out these seven wicked nations, he said. So about 40,000 of them went in. So he got about 40,000 foot soldiers from those 2.5 tribes that went in. And now listen, they've been in there for about 7.5 years battling these wicked nations. They haven't seen their family. Okay? That's like signing up for the military, like a few of us have done, right? You sign up, you go. You see your family when you see your family. It's just what it is. But these guys, they haven't seen their family in 7.5 years. So now Joshua, he blesses them and says, hey, you are good to your word. Take off. Go back to your families. He's going to tell them here, we're going to read. He's going to bless them before they leave. Hey, we want you to take some spoil with you. You are in this with us. Take back this and livestock and gold and silver and go share it with your family. They have a part in this too. They were over there holding down the fort while we were over here fighting. Pretty great. This is a pretty good chapter. So let's go ahead. We'll read through here. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. These are these 2.5 tribes. And he said to them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days up to this day, but have kept charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. Verse 4. And now the Lord your God has given you rest to your brethren, your families, as he promised them. Now therefore, return and go to your tents and to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Verse 5. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Look at this right here. Joshua tells them to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. What great words, huh? Joshua's telling them. Isn't that an incredible verse, right? He tells them, don't you forget about the Lord, right? Hold fast, he said to him. You serve him with all your heart and all your soul. And it says, verse 6, so Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Let's just stop here for a second. So Joshua, he tells them, you know, you guys have been great. You've been obeying. You obeyed the Lord. And he sends them off with a blessing, right? What a blessing Joshua just gave them. And then let's pick up on verse 7. It says, now to the half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan. But the other half of it, Joshua gave possession among their brethren on this side of the Jordan. Okay, so remember, there's the Manasseh tribe. It says the half tribe, because half the tribe is on the outside and half the tribe is on the inside, right? One's on the outside of the Jordan, one's on inside the promised land. Westward, it says, right? So, and it says, and indeed, when Joshua sent them away to their tents, look at this, Joshua blessed them and spoke to them, saying, return with much riches to your tent, with very much livestock, with silver, with gold, with bronze, with iron, and with very much clothing. So see what Joshua's doing? He's blessing them. He's saying, giving them all this stuff. These are 40,000 troops. He's saying, we took all this spoil from these other wicked seven nations. You are a part of this. Take this with you. We want to bless you, right? It says, divide the spoil of your enemies with your brother and your family. Okay, verse 9, it says, so the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh returned. back to where they were, and they departed from the children of Israel at Shiloh. That's where Joshua and those guys were camping out, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, which they had obtained according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So let's stop there for a minute. So these 2.5 tribes, they're going east now to be with their families. These 40,000, approximately 40,000 soldiers, they're taking off. They're going back to their land. They've been in the land now fighting the enemy for 7.5 years. And Joshua, as we just read, he blessed them. He told them, take a bunch of stuff with you. Go live over there. But he tells them, do not forget to obey the Lord. Right? Here's the thing. Like I have mentioned before, that the gospel, okay, it requires two things. Very important for you to know as a Christian, especially when you're sharing your faith. The gospel requires two things: repentance and faith. Okay? Right? What did Jesus say? The first thing he said in his ministry, he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel, which means believe in him, his works, his words. There's a lot to it, not just believe. There's a lot in that word believe. Right? Not like the we read about those men in the end of chapter 2 or in the book of John, right? He said they believed, but Jesus didn't commit to them because he knew in their heart they didn't really believe. They weren't committed. That's what he said. So, but my point is, repentance and faith, okay? When a person comes to the Lord through repentance, okay, true repentance, right? Godly sorrow. That's what Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. He says, true godly sorrow leads unto salvation, right? So my point here is repentance and faith, okay? True repentance and true faith leads to obedience. So in other words, if the day you came to Christ and you truly repented, right? You were sorry, truly sorry for sinning against God, right? Not a worldly sorrow, which is just sorry you got caught, right? Two different. Paul says that leads to death. True godly sorrow leads to life, right? Leads to repentance, leads to salvation. But true repentance and true saving faith produces obedience. Some people will say, well, obedience is part of the gospel. No, it's not part of the gospel. It's something that comes out of the born-again believer, just like love, okay? Love and obedience work hand-in-hand with the Lord, right? Let me give you an example of that. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, right, all your strength, right, it's easy to be obedient to him, right? Makes sense, right? But if I don't love the Lord with all my heart and soul and all that, it's easy for me to not be so obedient, right? Right. We see this in, you know, some people, right? They're not totally obedient to the Lord because there's not a true repentance, there's not a true saving faith, which leads to, produces obedience, right? So the point is, my point that I'm making is, you know, you set time aside for God to read your Bible, pray, come to church, fellowship with other believers. You do that because you love to do that. It's not like, oh, I got to go to church Sunday. Oh, man, I wanted to sleep in. I thought me and my buddy were going to go out to Tilton Diner and breakfast. Oh, I don't know if it's going to, you know what I'm saying? Well, oh, I forgot to read today. Oh, man. No, that doesn't come from a born-again believer. You pick up your Bible, you pray because you love to, right? Because like the Bible says, God has given us a new heart, a new spirit, right? He's changed us, right? So these Joshua's telling them, he's telling them, don't forget to serve the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And he tells them, keep his ways, keep his commandments, you know, obey him. And if you love him, it'll be easy for you to obey him, right? It's easy, right? It's just like it's easy for us to obey the Lord because we've been made new. And I'll add to that, that it's the Holy Spirit inside of us, right? When we become born again, right? When we become born again, we become saved. The Holy Spirit, the scriptures tell us, to come and live within us, right? And it's called regeneration. Okay? That's called regenerating the heart. Right? And now you start to love the things of God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. We didn't have it in us prior to that, right? God says, I'm going to take out that heart of stone prior to coming to Christ, which we all had, and I'm going to put a heart of flesh in you. And Jeremiah 24:7, God says, I'm going to put a heart in you to know me, right? That's becoming born again. So Joshua's telling them, hey, listen, when you take off and go live over there, don't forget the Lord, right? Obey him, love him, serve him. And it's easy to do if you love him, right? And that's a sign of being saved. All those things are just a sign of being saved. You meet people that you can just tell they love the Lord with all their heart and all their soul. You can just see it. You know, it's a sign of being saved. Obeying the Lord, obedience. You know, that's just a sign of being saved. But anyway, so Moses gave these tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe. He told them, you go on the east side of the Jordan River, right? And he tells them, he says, but it was stipulated that they had to go fight. This was, we're jumping back to Numbers 32. You had to go fight first and land, then you could, right? And Joshua acknowledged that the 2.5 tribes, they kept their word. They were obedient. They went in, the 40,000 of them. They fought these wicked nations. They fulfilled Moses' instructions. And now Joshua, he tells them, thank you. He blesses them and says, go back to your families. Okay? But yeah, I love how before they left, though, Joshua reminded him. He says, hey, just before you leave, you don't forget to serve the Lord. He did all this. It wasn't you. It wasn't me. It was him. I love that. All right, let's pick up in verse 10. This is pretty interesting here. The altar by the Jordan, you read this and you're like, what? But it's not what it seems. So let's read this here. Verse 10, it says, and when they came to the region, these tribes, these 2.5 tribes, they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh. Look at this. Built an altar there by the Jordan, a great, impressive altar. Now, before we go on any further, God said, you're going to put an altar at Shiloh. That's the only place you're going to worship me. He was set up an altar. It's going to be in Shiloh, and you're going to worship me there, okay? But this isn't what we're going to find out. This isn't, they didn't have bad intentions here. But they built a massive one on the way out. It says it was impressive, great and impressive. So verse 11 says, now the children of Israel, who were living on the inside, heard someone say, behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they had built an altar on the frontier of the land of Canaan, in the region of the Jordan, on the children of Israel's side. Right? You read this, and the first thing I think when you read this, until you read it all, it says, we just went from a few verses, we went from a blessing to they're getting ready for war. You can see same people, their family. But again, let's read through and see. Verse 12 says, and when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. So we went from blessing them to now we're going to kill them. Right? That's how probably some of you guys are with your family members. I'm going to bless them now. I'm going to kill them. All right, just kidding. Verse 13. Then the children of Israel sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest to the children of Reuben. Phinehas, he's going to go talk to him. To the children of Gad and a half-tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead. Verse 14. And with them, 10 rulers. He's going to bring 10 rulers with him. One ruler from each, from the chief house of every tribe. So they bring one chief member. And each one was the head of the house of his father among the division of Israel. Verse 15. Then they came to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead. And they spoke to them, saying, thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, What treachery is it that you have committed against the Lord of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, and what you have built for yourselves an altar? You guys crazy? Doesn't say that, but they probably did say that. That you might rebel this day against the Lord? You guys lost your mind? Verse 17. In this iniquity of Peor, not enough for us, from which we are not cleansed till this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord. But that you must turn away from this day from following the Lord. And it shall be, if you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. You see what they're saying? They're saying, hey, we're going to pay the price too because of what you guys just did. So that's the whole thing. He said all of Israel. He says, verse 19, nevertheless, if the land of your possession is unclean, then cross over to the land and possess the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us. But do not rebel against the Lord, nor rebel against us by building yourselves an altar besides the altar of the Lord, our God. Look at verse 20. He brings up Achan. Remember we read about this man? Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass and the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? You remember Achan, right? He stole the spoil when God said, don't take anything from Jericho, and he did. His whole family died, right? Sin affects the whole family. That's God's point. This man, he did something. He disobeyed the law. He brought sin into the family, and God killed the whole family. God wants us to know sin affects the whole family. So if you've got someone in your inner circle that's living in sin, it's going to affect you too. So he reminds him, right? Verse 20, did you not remember Achan, the son of Jeriah, commit the trespass, accursed things, and the wrath fell on the congregation of Israel, and that man did not perish alone in his iniquity, right? Perished with his family as well. Verse 21, then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, answered and said to the heads of the divisions of Israel, the Lord gods of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knows, and let Israel itself know if it is rebellion or if it is treachery. Am I saying that word right? Treachery? All right. Seeing if you guys are awake. Treachery against the Lord. Do not save us this day. If we have built ourselves an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer on it burnt offerings or grain offerings, or to offer peace offerings on it, let the Lord himself require an account. Okay, so just stop there for a minute. That altar in Shiloh, God said, that's where you're going to bring your burnt offerings to me, at Shiloh. These guys see them building an altar over here. They think they're going to start sacrificing to God on that altar. God said, no, you're only going to sacrifice at Shiloh. So they see this. It was massive, okay? So they're worried, these guys are going to start doing sacrifices over here. God said not to do that. That's going to bring punishment on everybody because of their sin. That's why this is going on. So look at verse 24. It says, but in fact, we have done it for fear for the reason, saying, in time to come, your descendants may speak to our descendants, saying, What have you to do with the Lord of God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between you and us. You and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, you have no part in the Lord. So your descendants would make our descendants cease fearing the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare and build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offerings nor sacrifices. All right, so see, they didn't build it for that, okay? But that it may be a witness between you and us and our generations after us, that we may perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your descendants may not say to our descendants in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. Okay, so he's saying, we're going to be able to come over here and do join in with you guys too. And that says, verse 28, therefore we said that it will be when they say this to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say, here is a replica, okay, of an altar. So they're saying, this isn't really an altar, okay? It's more of a memorial to the Lord. Of the Lord which our fathers made, though not for burnt offerings, right? They're saying, hey, we didn't build this for that, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between you and us. Verse 29, far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn from following the Lord this day to build an altar for burnt offerings, for grain offerings, or for sacrifices besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle, over in Shiloh. Verse 30. Now when Phinehas, the priest, the son of Eleazar, and the rulers of the congregation, the heads of the division of Israel, who were with them, they heard these words, that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. Okay, so they found out. They went over there and said, okay, it isn't what we thought it is. You know, but we just wanted to make sure, otherwise we were going to strike you guys dead. Right? Verse 31, then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, right? Remember Eleazar, this is the son of Aaron, Moses' brother, right? Said to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the rulers returned from the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought back word to them, to the rest. Verse 33. So this thing pleased the children of Israel, what they heard. And the children of Israel blessed God. They spoke, they were probably relieved, like, ah, praise the Lord. They spoke no more of going against them in battle to destroy the land where the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. Verse 34, last verse, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar witness, for it was a witness between us and the Lord is God. That's pretty neat. Pretty neat chapter right there, right? Had some controversy going on, as we can see. They said they went from, hey, go serve the Lord, obey the Lord, love the Lord, while we bless you. And they head out, and all of a sudden they see them building this massive altar. They think, uh-oh, they've been on that, Lord's going to strike us dead, right? But you know what? Kudos to these men for actually going over there and calling them out, right? Phinehas, he says, hey, listen, I'll get some rulers here. Let's go. We're going to go take care of this right now. These guys can't be doing this. But you know what? It was all in their heart to do it, and that's great. That's great that they did that. So when the 2.5 tribes crossed the Jordan, right, they, like I said, they constructed this altar. It was massive. It's right imposing size, right, by the river. It was by the river. Then the other tribes heard about it. They gathered at Shiloh and declared war on them. They said, we're going to find out what this is. We're going to do war. They were going to kill off 2.5 of their tribes over this. But they thought they were going to be doing some pagan sacrifices, their own sacrifices, which the Lord told them, you're not going to do that. You're going to do it in Shiloh, at the tabernacle. Also, I had a note here. It's funny how, well, it's not funny. It's actually really good how they brought up, you notice how they brought up Achan. They remembered. Oh, Achan, he disobeyed the Lord. He stole. Wasn't supposed to. The Lord said, don't take any spoil from Jericho. And Achan did. He snuck it in, and he snuck it into his tent, and his whole family. So they're saying, hey, don't be doing this stuff, because we're all going to pay too. So they brought up Achan. Yeah. I think, let's see here, what else has to do. So the thing here, what these men were doing, they were building that altar as we were just reading. This was more of a memorial to the Lord, that there's one God, He's our God. We know we're not going to sacrifice here. This is, we're building this as a memorial to Him. So Phinehas heard that. He was like, oh, that's awesome. Great. It's not what we thought it was. And he said it pleased them. They went back and they told the rest, hey, everything's good. We checked with those 2.5 tribes. They haven't lost their minds yet. They're good. All good. And that's it. And that ends chapter 21 and 22. So let's go ahead and we'll close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this afternoon the importance of obedience, and that by our love for you, Lord, makes this easier to obey you, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for reminding us of that in your word. And we thank you. We thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.